some of the, I think it was Aaron and maybe Kathy a couple of years ago when we first did that, I was always like, I don't know. They've just turned out to be one of the funnest events. So that'll be next Thursday night. It's just a great time, and the weather is perfectly beautiful, and you'll have a great time. You get to eat and meet people, and we'll just have a great time. Before the summer's out, we're going to do one over on Liberty Street, too. So I'm really excited about that. Which, by the way, if you ever want to go on a prayer walk, we're still doing some heavy-duty cleanup with stuff. So that's why we haven't opened anything up for people to walk through it yet. We will. But if you want to do a prayer walk through there, I've just found that to be... I've been up there a couple times, two, three times a week at nighttime. You know, Paulie Lemondola, every time I'm up there, he comes lurking out around the corner. He's up there praying. And it's just a blessing. I tell you, I'm meeting people up there. I could have had, Shandy, I thought of you last night. There was like a dozen or 15 kids up there. I was going to have a little VBS right out on the front steps there. And it's just funny. And last night was a time where every time I'm over there, I'm feeling God's will, because it's like another city over on that side of Ellicott Street. And I'm out there, and one of the neighbors comes out. He starts crying, telling me, you know, thank you for being here. And it's just so precious. And this guy shows up on a motorcycle, and he's saying, yeah, we clean this place up the way it should be clean. You know, just talking all like he's going to beat people up. And, you know, they're going to, and somebody wrote on a Facebook post that they were going to, you know, set landmines over. I mean, a crazy talk. And the Lord just, he said, I want my love to go on over in that neighborhood. And that's what we're going to do. We're going to just love people. I told those kids last night, I said, if you behave yourself over here, I'm going to buy you all ice cream. Now? No, not now. You got to behave yourself, and I'm going to get ice cream, and I'm going to do that. I'm going to get a couple of tables over there. If anybody wants to help me, I'm just going to get some tubs of ice cream. Somebody's got to give me a bullhorn, because I'm going to get out on the street. Come and get it! And I'll hand those kids ice cream in one hand, and I'll lay my hand on their head in another one. I'll pray over them. I'm going to raise some good kids up over there, right? God, just for the next few minutes, thank you for everyone that is here. God bless them and use them and keep them in Jesus' name. And everyone said, amen. I want to give you a couple scriptures tonight. I want to share something with you about living life out of Mark 16. This is one of my favorite scriptures, verses 15, 16, 17, and 18. And he said to them, this is such an important moment for some of you. I felt that tonight earlier when I was praying, that the Word of God will touch your life in such a powerful way that I believe that here in this sanctuary tonight, that somebody's heart and life is going to be impacted, not by nothing I could do could impact you, but it's the Word of God. He said, go into the world, preach the gospel to every creature. He who believes and is baptized will be saved. He who does not believe will be condemned. And these signs shall follow those who believe. In my name they'll cast out demons. They'll speak with new tongues. They'll take up serpents. And if they drink anything deadly, it will by no means hurt them. They will lay hands on the sick, and they will recover. Jesus wants you and I to know that when you go in the power of God, that he will display his power through you. You and I are never meant to be containers of what God has entrusted us with, but he has called us to share and to be a conduit for him to flow through. Not to store up, but for the power of God to flow through us. And I want to encourage you tonight that in your regular walk, in your everyday life, let God's power flow through you. Meet somebody that's hurting, that's going through something, that's sick. Don't be afraid to take your hand and lay it on their shoulder and say, or take their hand, say, can I pray for you? Can I pray over you? And watch God's power do something incredible in and through your life. He will do that. I was telling Ryan, we have this mason that's doing work on the outside of the building. He's fixing up holes in the bricks and everything. And I had met him, I don't know, a little over a year ago. He actually had done work on this building. And he came to me one day. And I don't think he's ever been to church here. I don't know if he goes to church anywhere. And he said to me, can I ask you to do something for me? And I said, sure. He said, my wife and I have been wanting to have a baby. And, you know, he just gave me some things. He said, will you pray for us? I said, I will pray. I have an anointing on me to lay hands on people and they get pregnant. Who wants to come down? And you know what? 3 months later, he sends me a text. I think we're pregnant. A month or two after that, he sends me a picture of the baby. I met his wife at my granddaughter Judah's moving up this week at the Oakfield School. She's like 8.5 months pregnant. I said, hi, I'm Marty. She looked at me. It's so nice to meet you. It's just beautiful to see the hand of God can move through you. It doesn't make me special or anything. Any one of you, pray, believe God. Watch God do some miraculous things. He'll anoint you in some areas of your life to do some things that other people may not have that gifting in. I don't know why. I love kids. Maybe that's why he's given me that, to pray for people like. I don't know. But I believe God for that. But God's called you to believe for something incredible in your life. Maybe you're a soul winner. Maybe you meet people and they'll come to know Jesus through your witness. Maybe you're just called to pray for people on the street. Maybe you're in a business or something and nobody else will listen, but maybe at the right time, at the right moment, God would use you to pray for that person and believe God for something just beautiful in their life. Amen. Jude 24 and 25, now to him who is able to keep you from stumbling and to present you flawless before the presence of his glory with exceeding joy, to God our Savior, who alone is wise, be glory and majesty, dominion and power, both now and forever. John 10:10, he's come to give us life and to give it to us in a more abundant way. Living life. God's called you and I to live life. But we must practice in our hearts and our lives every day, listen to this, to enjoy the Lord. Not only in the good times, but even if you find yourself going through a challenge, he's committed to give you joy in the middle of your pain. And that doesn't mean that you stay in the state that you're in the painful position, but you learn the process of moving through it gracefully and understanding the love and the power of God in the midst of what you're facing. And if we always wait for everything just to be perfect and right for us to do what God has called us to do, we'll never see that. You'll never go on a missions trip if you wait for everything just to be perfect. You'll never pray for anybody to receive Christ if you wait for everything perfect. You won't have the opportunity to have the band playing and Debbie on the keyboard or Rufus playing and just have that atmosphere to pray for somebody to receive Christ. It could be in the most obscure place that you could ask somebody, have you ever given your heart to Jesus? And when we wait for what we think is just the right time, we miss the joy that God wants to bring to us wherever we are. And he really wants to do that. The Bible says in Nehemiah chapter 8 and verse 10 that the joy of the Lord is our strength. Did you hear that? Some of you need to write that down tonight. The joy of the Lord is your strength. I don't wait until my bills are paid. I don't wait until I just feel the best. God wants to give us his best, even in the moment where it seems to be the most trying. David said in Psalm 118:24, this is the day the Lord has made. I will rejoice and be glad in it. Some of you need to hear that. That's what some of you need to write down. You need to look at that first thing in the morning, no matter what it is you're facing, no matter what it is you're going through. This is the day that God's made. Today is His day. And we don't just rejoice because everything is going good. We rejoice by choice. He didn't wait until everything was perfect. David said, no, I'm going to choose. I'm going to recognize that God made this day today, and I'm going to rejoice in it. The Bible says in John 16:33, in this world, you will have tribulation. But he said, be of good cheer. He said, I've overcome the world. I've overcome everything. And you can as well. So what if I told you that this was going to be the last week of your life? Would you learn to have joy? Would you embrace life in a whole nother way? Some of you need to hear that tonight. Some of you just go along in life and you get up every day and you just go on and then you go to bed and you do it all over again. You never embrace the life that God has called you to embrace and do the things that God has called you to do. That, you know what, only you can do. Nobody can do what you can do like you can do it. No one. And if you just go along day after day, living this melancholy, just, you know, whatever. What will be, will be. I loathe that. Well, whatever will be, will be. No, it won't. You have the propensity to create what will be because of the deposit that God has put in your life. And so the Lord wants you to enjoy Him no matter what you're going through or no matter what you're facing. The joy of the Lord is your strength. This is the day God has made. I will have joy. I will rejoice in it. I tell you, I've done, I don't know how many funerals in my life. I don't know, 300, 400, 500. And invariably, people will say, I wish I had one more opportunity to tell them that I love them. And a guy taught me 15 years ago, it may be too late to tell somebody you love them, but it's never too early to tell someone you love them. And I wonder tonight, if we knew that for some reason that this was going to be our last night together, would you just come in here and plop down and be, you know, looking at the news on your phone? Or would you let the Word of God dwell in you? And when you got up, would you just express love to people that are around you? Because Jesus said the greatest commandment is to love the Lord your God with all your heart, your soul, and mind. And the second is like the first, to love one another. Amen. Love. Sow some love. You say, well, you know, I'm just, I've had a bad day, and I just can't believe that this has happened to me, and where's the Lord when I need Him? He's right there. Well, how come nobody shows kindness and love to me? Sometimes you got to sow some to get some. And that's something that I want to tell every couple tonight, every family, every married couple. Sow love in your home. Sow it in your family. Sow it in your relationships. Sow, give, show love. Don't wait until everything is perfect and right. Show love. If you don't, you can just be like an old pond that's all plugged up and nothing's going out, nothing's coming in, and all of a sudden you just kind of get a little funky in your smell about yourself. David said in Psalm 71:14, he says, as for me, I will always have hope. He said, I will praise you more and more. I'm talking about living life. I'm talking about having joy in your heart. I'm talking about moving past the obstacles, moving past the roadblocks, moving past the difficult times, even in the midst of it, learning to trust Him, learning to praise Him. Proverbs 18:10, the name of the Lord is a strong tower. The righteous run into it, and they are safe. When we were worshiping tonight, there was a tower of God that was erected. And when you worship Him, it's like you running into that. And no matter what's trying to bombard around you, God says, I'm going to keep you safe. That's what happens when we worship and honor God. These are good scriptures. I love that. The name of the Lord is a strong tower. You should memorize that. The righteous run into it, and they are safe. Praise God. Give Him. Show Him. every single day. And David was even older when he made this statement. But what would your life and my life be if we got up every day and decided to praise the Lord more and more? We got up instead of doing what we normally did. We just made a decision that today I'm going to praise God. I'm going to show Him honor. I'm going to lift Him up in my life. What would our church be if every time we came into the doors that we weren't looking for something that was wrong, but we were looking to the one who is always right? Woo! Come on today. Amen. Come on, let's just give the Lord a praise. And I'm going to praise God more than I did a week ago. I'm going to give Him more honor than I did a day ago. I'm going to thank Him because He's been good to me. And even if I run a rough spot, you know, a few weeks ago, my goodness, you know, I had my shoulder operated on, I don't know, 3.5-4 months ago now. It's just been, it was tough and just getting through that. And then I get this thing on my heel, and then I wear this boot, and the boot creates blisters on my foot. And the blisters weren't little. The blisters were huge. And my wife said, somebody said, we got to pop them babies. Oh, dear Jesus. She's down there. She's got a thing with flame on it and a needle and down by my feet. I go, God, what's she going to set my foot on fire? And she's poking it and it's so sore. And then my foot gets an infection. It wasn't her fault. I'm just telling you. Then I go to the doctor, and the doctor, you know, tells me I got to soak it in this betadine, gives me these antibiotic, and the soaking my foot helps, and the antibiotic helps. But then guess what happens? A side effect to the medicine is itching, and my feet itch like there's 1,000 ants crawling over them. And I'm like, okay, Jesus, what is going on here? But I'm going to praise Him. I know you're laughing now. But in the middle of that, we got to say thank you. You know, and I'm going to come into the church. I will wear that dumb boot and people, oh, what happened to your foot? And some people looked at me and smiled and laughed. I wanted to take that boot and put it where it wouldn't get any notice. But anyways, we get angry, we can get unsettled, but in the midst of it, if we praise Him and thank Him and give Him glory, come on tonight, give God glory and honor, amen. Romans 5:3, in the Amplified 3, in verse 4, it says, moreover, let us also be full of joy right now. Let us exult and triumph in our troubles and rejoice in our sufferings, knowing that pressure and affliction and hardship produce patient and unswerving endurance, and endurance fortitude. It develops maturity of character, approved faith, and tried integrity and character of the sort produces the habit of joyful and confident hope of eternal salvation. When we go through things, we don't have to stop. And we don't have to get caught up in dwelling what's, well, this is wrong and that's wrong. But if you knew this, and if you understood that, and if you knew what I was feeling and what I was going through, and you're right, I don't. But I know He does. And somebody said to me a week or two ago, they said, you must be nervous about everything that you got going on at the church there. Man, look at all that. You got. I looked at him and I said, I'm not nervous at all. This is mine. I'm working for the Master. That doesn't faze me and bother me in the least. I said, do you want to know what bothered me? What caused me to worry? Is when I sat across from my wife of 30-some years, and I saw them put that PICC line in her arm and start putting that poison chemo into her life. I said, now that bothered me. Anything other than that, it's all uphill, or it's all downhill from there. I can make that. But even in the middle of that, we're going to thank Him. We're going to put my wife and I put my arms around her. We sang praise in the kitchen. We thank God because in everything, not for everything, in everything, we give Him thanks. 1 Corinthians 13:13, it says, now these three things remain, faith, hope, and love. And I just want to close on these three. Number one, faith gives us the capacity to enjoy life. Come on, you're called to enjoy the life that you have. What would your life be if you did not have the measure of faith? The Bible says to each one has been given a measure of faith. And faith is the capacity to believe without proof of it already happening. If you already had it, you wouldn't need faith to believe God for it. Habakkuk 2:4 says, the just shall live by faith. Some say, I'll believe it when I see it. But faith says, I believe it, then I see it. Oh, I like that. I ought to get some more amens out of Chuck Wood tonight. Come on. Luke 8:43 says, a woman in a crowd had suffered for 12 years, constant bleeding. She couldn't find a cure. Coming behind Jesus, she touched the fringe of his robe, and immediately the bleeding stopped. Who touched me? Jesus said. Everyone denied it, and Peter said, Master, look around you. The whole crowd is pressing against you. But Jesus said, no, someone deliberately, someone with intent, someone with a purpose, someone who had faith in their heart, someone who is believing for a breakthrough, touched me because I felt power go out of me. And when the woman realized that she could not stay hidden, she began to tremble and fell to her knees in front of him. And the whole crowd heard her explain why she had touched him and that she had been immediately healed. And Jesus said, daughter, your faith has made you well. Go in peace. Faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence not yet seen. Without faith, Hebrews 11:6, it's impossible to please God. For he who cometh to God must believe that he is, and that he is a rewarder of them who diligently seek him. Now, he says, Paul says, these three things remain: faith, hope, and love. Number two, hope gives us a reason to live a great, abundant life. Hope is the good and favorable, confident expectation, anticipation that something good is going to happen in my life. I believe that with all of my heart, that something good is going to happen in my life. God has good ahead of me. He's got better in front of you than you could ever have behind you. You need to have faith and trust him that he's going to work things out for you. He's opening doors for you. He's going to bless your life. He's going to show you his way. He's going to open up your destiny. He's going to take you before great men. He's going to give you the desires of your heart. He is going to do good for you. There wasn't one Christmas in my life when we were raising our kids that we could have been broke, busted, and disgusted. But my kids, every one of them, a month before Christmas, they knew that something good was going to happen to them. And I wonder if you here tonight can believe God with all of your heart and know and leave here tonight and believe that something good is going to happen in your life. The Bible says in Psalm 42:11, David said, soul, why are you so downcast? Why are you so disturbed? He said, put your hope in God. You know what I've learned in life sometimes, and I've done it many times. I'm going to lay my hands right on myself and just say, Lord, give me joy. I need some hope. Why are you downcast, soul? Come on, get up. Praise him. There's more for you than there are against you. You're going to make this. You're going to get over this. You're going to get through this. You got to speak to yourself sometimes and declare with your mouth, this is not the end. You're going to make it. David said again, he says, but as for me in Psalm 71:14, I will always have hope. I will praise you more and more. Man, I like this. I'm preaching myself happy up here. Luke 17:33 says, whoever tries to keep his life will lose it, but whoever loses his life will find it. Come on, give your life away. Give that praise up to God. Even when you can't see what's happening, come into the house of God with an expecting heart. The greatest of these, faith, hope, and number three, love. A joyful life flourishes in an atmosphere of love. Oh, I like this. Love is known from the actions that it prompts. God's love is seen through the gift of his Son. And Christian love is the fruit of the Spirit of the Lord working in your life. Man, I've met people in my life. They said they've got the power of God's Holy Spirit in them. Oh, I wish they'd let their outside know, because they look like they've been dipped in lemon juice, and they just look like an old bag of tea that's just miserable. Listen to me. Christian love is the fruit of the Spirit of God working inside of you. You can have, I don't care how many gifts you got. I don't care. You can speak in tongues between now and the rapture. But if you walk in and out of people's life and you're just miserable and you don't show no love, you don't have that power of God's Holy Spirit working inside of you like he said you can have. Because the greatest of all the gifts is to love one another. And not just when it's time to love. Not just when you feel like loving. When you feel like something else. And then you love. That's God's Spirit working inside of you. Amen? Come on, any parents know what I'm talking about? My goodness. Galatians 6:10, therefore, as we have opportunity, let us do good to all people, especially those who are in the household of God. Amen. Faith, hope, love. Do you know you can make a difference in somebody's life today just by showing them a little love? You know, God's called me to a ministry. I know I'm going to go here or go there. You go start right now. Don't you leave here tonight without showing somebody love. Well, that's just not me. Well, what do you mean it's not you? If he's living inside of you, it's you. Come on, do you love him tonight? Give God. Put your hands together for Jesus tonight. Come on, put your hands together for Jesus tonight. That's God, we just want to say thank you tonight. We are going to live the life and be who you have called and created us to be tonight in the name of Jesus. From the youngest to the oldest that is here tonight, we put our hope and our trust in you. Thank you, God. Thank you, Lord. It's about 4 minutes after tonight. You just need, I just sense the Lord. If you need me to lay my hand on you, just to pray, I'm just going to quick here. I'm going to take 4 minutes. Just come out of your seat real quick. Come down here. I'm not going to ask anybody else to come and help me. I just sense the Lord to do that tonight. Just say, all I'm going to do is lay my hand on you. Ask God to help you. Bring joy, peace, life, hope in your life. God, I thank you. Maybe it's your parent. We'll be done here in a minute. Bradley, come on up here. Stand in front of me. God, I thank you tonight, Lord. I pray strength. I pray life. I pray hope. In the name of Jesus, healing, restoration. God, and every perfect thing, God, that you have for these that have come tonight. Lord, restore and make alive and make new, I ask tonight in Jesus' mighty name. And everybody said amen. I love you tonight. Make sure you show love to somebody else on your way out tonight, okay? God bless you. Listen, next Thursday, we're going to have a great time. This Sunday, graduation Sunday, God's already laid something great on my heart. We give away Bibles, and it'll just be a fun Sunday to be together. I love you. Show love to someone else tonight.